The first eight guys maybe should be blue plate specials, but those back five guys, they should be more like tin hats, more guys that are grunt players, garbage players that dive for the ball.
You are listening to the Scrambled Eggs Podcast on CrackSidewalks.com.
Demons are exercised, dragons are slayed, vibes immaculate. Welcome to Scrambled Eggs, everybody. Your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast here on CrackSidewalks.com. Joe McCann, Phil Bush here with you to celebrate your Golden Eagles advancing in the NCAA tournament. A quick check-in for a very quick pod to celebrate that and talk about the next one. So crack open a 77 if you got one. Or, you know, if you're not drinking alcohol, you could do milkshakes, whatever you want. Phil, Marquette is moving on, and boy, this feels good.
Boy, just like the game today, this 77 tastes smooth, a touch troubling, and then just so good.
Yeah, the win, we can say this now that it's over, Phil. This was the easy one, right? This is the one you're right. Supposed to win. Like, you got to beat Vermont. But just to get off the schneid, shake off all the horrors of March's past, to get that first win, just felt so great. And Marquette played extremely well. We're going to break down the game a little bit. Just talk about just overall just vibes with the team right now as they continue to march on. Maybe a quick little thoughts as we now officially know that it will be the Michigan State Spartans on
the Joey Hausers.
The fighting Joey Hausers. We'll talk about Joey in a minute. But, Phil, for me, the first thing that stands out about the Vermont game, obviously – big concerns, and the demons were haunting me a little bit when Tyler Kolick left the game within 3 minutes with a hand injury. And while I still thought Marquette would win without Tyler Kolick if it came to that, I was very relieved when he came back into the game, even though it ended up not being his best game, yet Marquette still found a way to not only win, but win comfortably.
I had... years taken off my life when Tyler Kolick was wincing and grabbing his wrist going down the court that first time. But I, quite honestly, it feels like that was the perfect game for Marquette. Not in terms of like they played a perfect game, but just they faced some adversity, not too much. Obviously Tyler, both from an injury standpoint and just a general, vibe standpoint, was not at his best. The team let Vermont back into the game early in the second half, when typically they might go the other way. And so there was definitely a gut check moment there. And Cam Jones called his own number and said, guess what? Cam Jones time. And it was delicious.
It was the biggest Cam Jones time moment of the entire season. A little, what was it, 13-0 run, something like that? Or, he scored 13 straight points.
He scored 18 out of 21 points at one point for Marquette in the second half.
He just flipped the switch and just became the alpha dog on the court for a few minutes there. And that's when the game went from maybe a tiny bit of heartburn to, oh, we got this.
Well, not to shout out Purdue in their very recent demise, but like when it got down to five, on a scale of 1 to 5, how worried were you?
2.5.
Okay.
Like, I wasn't that worried. Like, maybe if it ever got to one possession and then with the ball, maybe I would have sweat a little bit. But I still thought Marquette was so significantly better. And the fact that Tyler was already back and Tyler was on the bench and was eventually going to return to the game, I thought, that he was always there as a break glass in case of emergency. I was never on it. Like, granted, just the nerves of March are always there. But to be honest, I was never actually thinking Marquette's going to lose this game. I never really thought that.
Yeah, I agree. I was at like probably a 0.5, right? Like again, it was one of those things like, this is down to a 5-point lead with 18 minutes to go. This is going to be a little more uncomfortable than I anticipated, but okay. And then as soon as Cam had that 3-point shot and then came back with the driving right-handed like kind of off the left side of the hoop layup, I kind of went, all right, I'm back to zero. This is.
Yeah, I was too. I think there was a little bit of worry. I see all you guys tweeting during the game, and a lot of people having a little heartburn there. But when it went from 5 to 10 in the blink of an eye, I'm like, we got this. It's fine. And then Cam just kept scoring and scoring and scoring, and all of a sudden it was ballooned from like 5 to it got up to 20. And yeah, the win, honestly, once we got to the half lead to halftime with the lead, and then once Cam had his run, the win was never in doubt for me. And then all the demons faded away, and it was all good. So
that's the thing I think that maybe I've come to terms with, and maybe it's only a me thing, but like I have gotten extremely not that I'm not passionate or excited for the games, but I've gotten extremely calm with these games. Because just for whatever reason, and I'm settling on demons. I guess I didn't care, but now I actually care. It's demons, not dragons, right? Demons haunt you. Dragons are just, terrible creatures or whatever.
Dragons are big and scary, and you have to slay them, but they don't haunt you.
Right. They're not. Dragons aren't there from like times past, right? And I feel like that's what this team is doing this season, is making up for times past, right? Whether it's the don't lose to DePaul thing, or the never having won a Big East title, especially in light of the Hauser Howard year. There's any number of things where they keep stepping up, and the February Marquette thing, or the fade late, like those things have all been chucked to the side. The biggest one for us this season, honestly, was, literally 10 years without an NCAA tournament win. And it feels like those demons are going to keep getting slayed or exercised, right? Good Lord.
Yeah, it was funny. You were talking about demons and dragons for the past couple days, and I had that video ready to go with both a demon and a dragon. So it kind of worked out in the end, the metaphor. But like, I think what this team has shown Marquette fans, and if you're not on board with this at this point, I just can't help you, but you have got to stop believing in demons and curses and jinxes.
Right.
And just start believing in this team. Because
I agree. Having said that, I did take off my Marquette gear when we were down 5, because I feel when I'm at home and I don't wear Marquette gear, they play better. So it worked. So, I mean, clearly superstitions are a thing.
I'm not superstitious. I'm just a little stitious. I definitely wanted to wear something Marquette, but since it was St. Patrick's Day, I also wanted to wear something green. But I did not want to wear the same thing I wore to the St. Patrick's Day game last year, which went horribly for us.
Right.
So I had to come up with just a new fit for home. But it's my work from home Marquette look. But so I wore a green hat with my Marquette gear, and I was set to go. So, yeah.
But anyway, you were talking about believing this team. Please go on.
Yeah. Stop believing in the things you can't prove, like jinxes or curses, or these things that are going to get you at the end and ruin your season. Just believe in this team and believe what you're seeing with your own two eyes at how good this team is, and that they can win different ways. Example today, your All-American point guard had a bad game. Part you could chalk it up to injury if you want, and that's fine, but he did not have a good game, Tyler Kolick, and even he would admit that. But it didn't matter, because other guys stepped up, especially Cam Jones. Stevie Mitchell made some great defensive plays. Really everybody chipped in one way or another. So there are so many ways his team can beat you if one guy has an off night. On Friday, it was Tyler Kolick who had a rough day, but his teammates picked him up. And I have no doubt in my mind that Tyler Kolick will step back up and be the guy we expect him to be in the Michigan State game. And my only concern, honestly, is if that thumb swells up on him and how bad it is. But if it was okay enough that he could return to the game, I'm sure he's just going to ice the heck out of it for 2 days and he'll be ready to go.
Right, right. Well, and I mean, listen, this team is literally going to beat anyone if they're shooting 50% from three. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they are quality three-point shooters, but like they are not necessarily 50% quality free three-point shooters. And and Cam Jones went 3 for 4, and Tyler was 2 for 4, Joplin was 2 for 4, Stevie Mitchell 2 for 3. So that's if you're going to get that kind of shooting, which we haven't seen over the last couple of weeks, which is probably most responsible for the quote unquote regression, you know, from an analytics standpoint is just the scoring was down a little bit. Like, if they can stay hot, oh man, look out, they'll beat you all sorts of ways.
Yeah, they, you know, they were, what, the halftime lead was what, 9? And like, they went to the halftime up 9, and at that point, Vermont was like 6 of 12 from 3. So they were having a good day from 3 and still down 9. I'm like, man, it's going to take a lot for them to to win this game. Right. And like, I had no doubt that they would adjust and maybe step up their perimeter defense. And but the win was never really in doubt for me. The team played a great game. They were focused. They were locked in. They looked the way a two seed should look against a 15 seed, as opposed to, say, what happened to Arizona. Like, I mean, there have been upsets. Like, we talked about it going into the tournament, Phil. You knew good teams are going to lose this first weekend. We didn't exactly think it would be maybe the madness we've seen so far with Purdue and Arizona losing their first games. But you just hope you're not one of them. And Marquette was not, thankfully, in the first round. And hopefully they continue to not be one of the top seeds. That's a wild thing. Right now, Marquette is the highest seeded team remaining after in its bracket after one day, after one round.
Right. Well, I mean, that's one of the crazy things is, like, we talked about it in the last podcast that the path for Marquette was, I mean, there is no easy path, right? I don't care how the bracket shapes up. There's not a quote unquote easy path.
If you want to be a Final Four team, a national champion, you got to be some good teams.
Right. And Al McGuire was famous for saying, hey, if you're going to win in the tournament, you're going to have to win at least two close games. Right. So like, that's still going to be true, whether it's Michigan State, you know, a Kentucky, a Duke, whatever. Marquette's going to have to play tight, close games. But I think it's fair to say the path has gotten easier since, you know, the bracket was published.
Anytime the one seed goes down, he's like, well, that's one giant down the road that we may not have to deal with. So there's one less team you may have to take down. Now, granted, you got to beat two more teams before you even get to worry about who you're going to beat in the Elite Eight. But again, the more upsets there are and you're not one of them, you just feel better about it. Like, okay, maybe the upsets are going to calm down and we're just going to keep going.
Right. Well, the other thing I take away from this game that I think is super exciting, and again, perhaps it's a reflection of the opponent we faced, but with the exception of Oso, nobody on the team played more than 30 minutes. You know, Omax played 29, Tyler played 26, which actually feel like he played less than 26 given his foul trouble and the injury stuff. But, you know, and Joplin played 27. Everyone else was like 23 minutes or less, which if you can get a game where, you know, a tournament game where you're getting Ben Gold, Sean Jones, Chase Ross, extended minutes that let the starters, like, that bodes well for the next game. You know what I mean? Because maybe the other team, I'll go look and see what Michigan did in terms of their players and how much time they spent on the court. But, like, it's a marathon, not a sprint, right? And, like, just glancing, I mean, Michigan State played 7 guys, and 3 of those guys played more than 30 minutes each. So, you know, again, at some point, the wear and tear, you know, comes back on teams. And if Marquette was able to get a comfortable win with playing a relatively deep roster, now Shaka has that ability to go, oh, you know what? We got to win this. All right, let's play our 5 starters for 35 minutes each. You know, and really take it to a team, because I will put our 5 starters against any team in the country.
Yep, and I think we've said multiple times that, you know, how good this starting 5 is, and they are among the best starting 5s, if not the best starting 5 in the country.
Right.
Not many teams, and when these guys, when they have to play extended minutes, they're great. But it's like you said, Phil, it's good to know that there are guys on that bench that can come in and contribute. If those guys need a rest, if those guys are in foul trouble, if those guys have some injuries they got to sit with for a minute. We've seen guys like Chase Ross and Sean Jones and Ben Gold and David Joplin, the 6th man of the year in the Big East, step up and have big minutes, big moments in games that have helped them win games. So, going to need more of that against Michigan State, of course. Given their history, Tom Izzo's always been a great March coach, and you know, he's got another very good team this year, but this isn't one of his best teams either. Let's be honest with that. Now, I'm not saying it's not a team that can beat Marquette, because it certainly is, but this is not the typical Big Ten champion level Final Four contender Michigan State team that Izzo has had so many times over the last 25 years or so.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, the Big Ten overall has just been, you know, the Big Ten is a bit challenged. I mean, Purdue lost. You know, what the best Big Ten team left is what, Penn State, which sounds gross to say, but
as we record, Michigan State hasn't played. Yeah, and Indiana hasn't played yet. As we're recording this, they play tonight, so they're still in it. Again, they haven't played.
Yeah, but they've had three. They've already had three Big Ten teams out. Maryland, and I shouldn't do this on the fly after having drank already, because I'm going to get something wrong. But I like the Big Ten has not impressed this season. You know, and Michigan State was far from the best team in the Big Ten. You know, so again, it's probably a challenging game, but it's. The team is proving to be consistently a solid team, right? Like, they can win different ways. They can win defensively. They can win with their All-American, you know, with a hand injury. They can play with a deep bench. They can play with a short bench. You know, they make halftime adjustments. Like, again, I think we just I know we could lose any game at any moment. Like, things can just go sideways on us, right? But I just keep coming back to, I have never felt so comfortable with a team in my entire life. Like, even you and I go back to the 03 season, and maybe this is revisionist, but I don't know that I ever felt super confident with that team, right? Like, there were a series of miracle games on that Final Four run that, like, I don't know that we were ever like, oh yeah, we got this.
Yeah, I think we could probably just went into that tournament assuming we would lose to Kentucky. They were the top seed in that region. Keith Bogans was an All-American on that team. I think there was a feeling that maybe even if we could beat Pittsburgh, who was the 2 seed in that Marquette's region that year, that it would probably end in the Elite Eight against Kentucky. But, you know, I don't know. It is hard to think exactly what our mindset was week to week, knowing how it ended now. But I think at that time we were just trying to be the best team in Conference USA, right?
Right.
Like, trying to overtake Cincinnati, and Louisville was really good at that time, and trying to be the best team in that league, and then just see how far we could go in March. Now, I thought Marquette was excellent for a Conference USA team. I thought Marquette was going to win Conference USA that year for sure. But as far as taking it to that next level, maybe I didn't fully believe that until I saw it. Now, I believe there was some magic in Dwayne Wade that year that maybe he could do something special in the tournament, but I don't know if I necessarily called, especially not early on, that Marquette would go to a Final Four.
Right, and I think that's the big distinction I wanna draw, is this team feels like it belongs, right? You know, the 03 team, and even to a certain extent the 2013 team, it felt like a little bit of like black magic, but they are. They are battle tested. The Big East is a good league, you know. Certainly a top three amongst the Power Six conferences, right? I mean, what conferences would you say are better on paper than the Big East? For sure, the Big 12.
The only one I would say for sure is the Big 12.
Right. I mean, you could make an argument that SEC and the Big East are, you know, kind of neck and neck, but
I couldn't go much further than the SEC, because the ACC blah this year, Big Ten, I mean, they got a lot.
They're blah every year. For those,
I mean, they got a lot of OK teams. I mean, they got a lot of bubble, good side of the bubble teams, but they've got like 1,000 teams in that league here, so they should have at least 8 or 9 teams in the tournament. Marquette is definitely, in my opinion, played in a top three league and won it convincingly.
Mm-hmm.
So there should be every reason to be confident. You know, the way you're talking about Marquette, it's definitely an analogy with me that I know probably only like 2 or 3 listeners of ours can relate to. Shout out to Ben Snyder. But as a Chiefs fan, for years, the Chiefs were a middle-of-the-road NFL team at best. And so there's always there was always anxiety for me if they would win or not. But now that they got 15 under playing quarterback, I go in every week assuming the Chiefs are going to win.
Right.
And that's how I feel, that's like how I feel about Marquette now, as opposed to anxiety of, oh, they're probably going to lose at some point. I go in every game thinking Marquette's going
to
win.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that, like, you don't have to squint anymore to be like, well, if this happens or that happens or they do this extraordinary thing in this one thing, it's like, all right, well, they're going to win. It's just a question of what the mechanism is by which they're going to win.
Yeah. They're going to find a way.
I
don't know if they're going to win the national title, but however it ends, I expect a great effort from this team in every game it plays for the rest of the season. I really do.
Yeah.
And they're going to make Marquette University fans proud, mm-hmm. However the rest of this tournament goes. And I think they can go very far. I don't think it ends on Sunday. I definitely think they can beat and will beat Michigan State, but we can get to that in a second. But there's no team remaining that I look at and say Marquette can't beat them.
Right, yeah.
Even as good as Alabama is. Now, Alabama's great, but there's vibes around them, and I talked about that before, but that's looking way down the road. But again, especially in Marquette's bracket, there's no team that's like, oh, they can't beat them.
Right.
Sure, they can beat everybody remaining in Marquette's bracket.
So let's put the one hesitation out, and I'm gonna open the next one because the first one's done. I'm changing brands, though.
You got to save those 77.
Yeah, I only have so many for all these victories. What team left in the bracket scares you the most?
In Marquette's East region?
Yeah.
Duke.
Okay. I was going to say Kentucky.
Yeah, Kentucky's good. I think Duke has been hot, and I think they've got the thing is, there's the Sheboy thing, though. But the thing is, Derek Lively, even though he's not a great offensive player for Duke, he is a shot eraser in the middle. Like, he's like a great defensive player. And so that he could really alter those 2-point shots that Marquette loves to get. So, and then they've got NBA prospects all around the perimeter, and they've got length. Both Kentucky and Duke are similar in that they have 5 stars almost at every position, and like pretty much almost every player that plays minutes for Duke and Kentucky believes they're an NBA player, whether they are or not, I don't know, but they're similar to me as far as the talent level and kind of figuring it out at the right time. I think Kentucky has just been a little more inconsistent lately, whereas I think Duke is more in they're figuring it out phase and gaining momentum, whereas I think Kentucky could regress to what we saw last week when they got smoked by Vanderbilt in the SEC tournament, right?
Right.
To me, it's not about Kentucky's talent, it's about their consistency. Mm-hmm. That would concern me. Duke, I think, is figuring it out, could get on a roll.
Right. Yep, I agree. So, more importantly, though, the game at hand on Sunday, which, as of this podcast, we do not know when on Sunday it will be, correct?
I have not seen that yet, but I think, yeah, that usually comes out late on Friday night when they figure out, once they have all the matchups and figure out
right.
who they want. Do they still do that week thing where they have like only 2 games on CBS all
yes.
day and then everything else? Yeah, I hate that, but whatever. But you would think Marquette, Michigan State would be appealing enough for a standalone slot.
Well, that's CBS, the thing. I can't get a beat on, like, do they want that? Yes, it would be appealing. Well, and we've got the situation where in our pod, so to speak, so in the Columbus pod, there's going to be another game that's paired with ours, so we have to go either first or second in that grouping. The question is, so who would be on that side? It would be, who else is in Columbus?
Well, it's Fairleigh Dickinson and whoever wins between FAU and Memphis.
Oh, yeah. So they're gonna probably make FAU, whoever wins that game in Fairleigh Dickinson, that would be the early game, I would think. Because they'd probably put Michigan State and Marquette in primetime, I would think.
Maybe. Yeah, well, we'll find out. Because, again, by the time everyone's listening to this, they'll probably know the answer.
Yeah, so yeah. So
we can skip back.
Yeah, go forward about 12 seconds and then we'll be good. So the question is the Michigan State matchup, which mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, spoiler alert, I love this matchup. I really do.
Oh, yeah? Why so? Go into it.
Well, so first of all, like, there's no one on Michigan State that, like, I'm concerned from an athletic standpoint. And listen, I don't want it to come off as, like, sour apples or anything like that, but Joey Hauser trying to like defend David Joplin and or even worse for him, Omax Prosper, just makes my mouth water. Like there are matchup problems for Michigan State all over the board. And the only thing Michigan State does good, like real good, is 3-point shooting, which, you know, maybe somebody would be worried about that because it's like, oh, you can, you know, hit a ton of threes and win. And that's true to an extent, but you know, I don't see a way Michigan State can kind of really unlock Marquette's, you know, kind of energized defense. And I certainly am not worried about Michigan State's defense against this Marquette offense.
Stylistically, is Michigan State just a big boy version of Vermont?
Yeah. Like,
they shoot the three very well. They take care of the ball. They don't offensive rebound particularly well. They do keep you off the offensive glass. Their opponents off the offensive glass pretty well. Offensive defense about the same on KenPom. Both 38.
They don't create fouls.
Yeah,
so I think that's like, spot on. I hadn't thought of that, but I do think it. You know, Michigan State is Vermont. I mean, they both wear green. You know, Michigan State.
But again,
is the,
Michigan State is the supersized version.
Right,
of Vermont.
They're the power six version of Vermont, but stylistically,
so yeah,
it's the same
concept. Look at like their roster. Yeah, the 3-point shooting, which yeah, like that allowed Vermont to hang around a little bit early, but over the course of the game, it was not an issue. But they have three guys who shoot better than 41% from three. So it's Tyson Walker, Jaden Akins, and then our old friend Joey Hauser, who's at 46%, 46.5. Goodness, so it's pretty good.
Good lord.
And then AJ Hogard's their point guard, so he gets the task of going up against Tyler Kolick. But I'll take Tyler Kolick against anybody, quite frankly. But yeah, Vermont might have been a good like little warm up for Michigan State. And I just got to step it up and clean up the things you did against Vermont and expect a bigger challenge from Michigan State in all aspects. But maybe stylistically about the same, because Michigan State does not want to play fast. They're going to want to slow it down, and but yeah, I agree with you. I think Marquette could really cause fits for them defensively, and I just point blank, I think Marquette's better. I think KenPom has, let's see, what do they got? 3 points. They got it as a 3-point spread. I think I saw the Vegas line early. The Vegas line was 4 in favor of Marquette. So Marquette will be the favorite team, of course, as the 2 seed. But yeah, I think Marquette gets this one and moves on to the Sweet 16. So I'm feeling
and I don't think
as good as one can feel.
Right, and I don't think Michigan has a ton of depth either, right? Like, you know, Hogard, Walker, and Hauser play a ton of minutes, and then the rest of the minutes are kind of scattered throughout there. You know, so, and to your point, Michigan State wants to kind of plod along. I could see Marquette just trying to make them, you know, not necessarily speed them up in terms of forcing Michigan State to play faster, but just forcing Michigan State to exert energy. Right on both ends of the court. If Michigan State has to take a lot of energy to score buckets, and you know, and we're guarding them, you know, 70 feet type of thing, and you know, then Michigan State also has to defend screens, go screens, double screens, you know, that, and there's nobody that I'm terribly worried about from a you know, they don't have anyone overly tall. They don't have anyone overly, you know, massive that I'm worried about Oso going up against. I think this is a solid matchup. As with every game in the tournament, things could go sideways for Marquette and they could lose. But, you know, a 2-7 matchup, this is about as good as I could hope for a 2-7 matchup for Marquette to be successful.
I agree. Are you looking at Michigan State's KenPom schedule right now?
I am, yes.
Okay, because then I was going to quiz you, but then you would know the answer. So there are 3 non-conference losses, 2 perfectly understandable, 1 might raise an eyebrow. Gonzaga, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama, lost to them, that's perfectly understandable. Lost to Notre Dame.
Sweet Lord.
Could you imagine losing to Notre Dame?
No, what does that feel? And losing to Notre Dame significantly.
18 points.
Right.
They lost 70 to 52. Now, that was a long time ago. That was way back in November. Teams get better. Teams change. But, yeah, I'm on board with everything you said. I don't know how much deeper we're going to dive into. We'll probably keep this podcast kind of short. But right. Yeah, I feel good that we when we check back in with everybody on Monday, Phil, that we will be previewing another game and not wrapping the season up.
Yes, I agree. And by the transitive property, we should win by 36.
I would be just fine with that. I would love a no-stress March game. I really would. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, and listen, I mean, no hate to Joey, but boy, if somebody could dunk on him, that would be great. That would be a tremendous, tremendous demon exorcism.
Would it be like against like NIL stuff, like to like for any kind of collective, like to put a bounty, say like anybody dunks on Joey Hauser?
Oh, God. It's going to be Omax, right? Like, Chase is a tremendous dunker, but Omax and Joey are going to be matched up. There's got to be some sort of Omax, like, oop on Joey that, like...
Yeah. Either that or a Tijeray in garbage time would be fine, too.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. I'm fine with that. why don't we settle on that?
Yeah, that would be fine with me. But, yeah, like, as like I said in the last pod, like... The feelings on the Housers are just weird for me because you still kind of feel the bitterness of the way whatever went, even though we don't know all the details of what went down exactly, but the fact that they walked away from a preseason top 10 team and really kind of nuked the program for a while. But at the same time, if they come back, this current team would probably not exist. Because just think of what might happen. Wojo probably gets enough wins, probably gets a contract extension, probably doesn't get fired after 2021. Shaka is probably not hired as our coach. Domino, alternate universe, etc. This would not be happening right now if they didn't leave. So, in that regard, I thank them.
Yeah. I have no bitterness. It's all fun and games, but...
Yeah, just a little sportsmanship. Nothing against them personally. I wish them happy lives with whatever they end up doing with them. But on the basketball court, not rooting for them.
Nope.
Not at all.
Nope. I mean, listen, I hope the Joey Hauser's career ends on Sunday. Not in like a catastrophic way, but just in a mundane sort of, I lost by a significant number of points, and now I got to go figure out what I'm going to do post-college.
Is like I lose track of the COVID stuff. Does he have a COVID year, or is he done now? It feels like
how could he possibly have any eligibility left? Well, he was a freshman in 19, so yes. 19, 20.
20.
I guess technically he's got a COVID year.
Yeah. Was he a freshman? Yeah, the 19 season, and then he was in the played the 20. Or no, he sat out the 20 season as a freshman.
Yeah, because remember Izzo got all bent out of shape.
Yeah, because... Izzo threw a fit because he didn't get the eligibility. So then he played 21, 22. This is his fourth year, and then the thing is he enrolled. He enrolled early at Marquette.
That's true. Yes, because he enrolled the year before in 18,
and so he. But again, the COVID thing throws me off. So he may have another year still, but. Again, we're off topic. It would be funny if Joey's NCAA tournament career ended similarly to the way it started with Ja Morant dunking him into, you know, another light year, another dimension.
Yeah.
But yes, so we're all on the same page. We are all very happy that we will never again be trolled no tournament wins since 2013. And yes, you know, 10 years is a long time to go without a tournament win. It's not as bad as, say, I don't know, 45 years without making the tournament at all. But 10 years without a tournament win was a long time. And now we won't have to hear it again.
Yes, we've paid our penance to the basketball gods. We flew too close to the sun, and now we're back in their good graces. That's all I want. Just let's keep the good vibes rolling.
Yeah, again, keep the good vibes rolling again. So we're hopefully going to check in with you again. Usual time, probably late Sunday, probably on Monday when you'll probably hear it again. We'll break down what happens in the Michigan State game, and hopefully that's a win, and we'll be looking ahead to the Sweet 16 and whatever comes next. Again, this was just a quick check-in, celebratory pod. Hope you all enjoyed it. Hope you enjoy the rest of the March Madness over the weekend. And as always, you can hit us up on Twitter. I'm Joe McCann 3. Phil is MOOOF23 at Crack Sidewalks is a team handle. Go to cracksidewalks.com. We post a podcast there. You can leave comments on the .com, and you can also remember to rate, review, and subscribe. So next time we do a surprise podcast, it'll be right in your feed.
Right. So get it right in your earballs. Let's roll. Let's roll. I'm ready to play again. Can we play again tonight? Let's play.
I would be up for it, but I don't think they will allow that, especially if they continue to have issues adjusting rims like they did in Greenfield.
Oh, clown show, man. Clown show.
Side note, just real quick, if that happened to Marquette, I don't know if you saw that, but the Iowa State thing where they...
Yeah.
All right, I would never let go of that.
No.
Like, ever.
I would burn the NCAA to the ground.
I would never let that go. But again, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy the madness, and hopefully Marquette is still on the good side of it. Seashells and balloons, everybody.